Christy Colleen. Let's welcome her.
Amen. Well, it's great to be with you this morning, and I feel like I'm at one of these high school exams. You know, when you have to do this exam for the English class, you have to speak right, to pronounce right. So, but it's great to be with you. It's great to be. How are you doing this morning?
Wonderful.
Great. Well, you have to ask me also how I'm doing this morning.
How are you?
I'm doing fantastic. Well, I'm glad to be with you guys. And I'm here with my wife, Ludmila. We are glad to be with you. And my wife and I, we have the privilege to come to the United States like once or twice a year to be part with the Harvest family and different conference or different meetings. It's a great privilege for us to gather together with the family, with people who share the same faith, the same desires, the same focus, the same vision. And we are just at the end of our trip tomorrow. God willing, we'll hit back. We are anxious to see our children, and we have four children. So we'll have some pictures, and we'll show it. Say something more about that to you. But as Pastor Nate said, we have meeting together in 2011. We have been together in Harvest Training Center. And I hope you guys realize how much blessings, well, I don't know how you realize, but I hope they are blessings for you as they are for us. It's a great thing to have Pastor Nate serve and stay in fellowship with him. We encourage each other all the time when we Skype or send a note, see pictures about each other, praying about each other. When I was in Harvard, it was just so great to be together with them. Even now when we were in Phoenix, I had Pastor Nate always staying next to me, teaching me how to keep the fork in one hand and how to deal with the cup, and what to say, what to not say. So it's just a blessing. I hope you guys are appreciating them very much, and I'll encourage you to keep them in your prayers. It's a great job that they are doing, but it's not something easy, because we know that the evil one is the one who has always a plan to attack those who are faithful for the work of the gospel. So they are a great people, but please continue to pray and support them. Encourage them as you can. So we have few pictures we'd like to share with you. This is our logo, what you just say. We call our church Harvest Metanoia because Harvest, it's an English word which makes almost no sense for our culture. But metanoia means repentance or means changing your mind. So that's why we put another name to the name of Harvest, just to have an understanding for our society. So the next picture, the next slide, you can see an old picture of our family. Ludmila and I, we are together for 16 years. But God in this time bless us with four children. So you'll see, if you go to the next slide, I think you're going to start to seeing our children. This is our oldest, Kristin L. David. He's 16 years old, almost. He it's part of our worship team back home. And the next picture, it's our second boy, Victor Emmanuel. He is also involved in video and projection ministry in the church. The third one, the next slide, it's our daughter. It's my princess. I have only one princess yet. Estera Nicoletta, she's playing violin also together with our worship team. And the youngest one, the cherry on the cake, we call it, Daniel Samuel, I think he is not in this picture. So if you go to the next slide, you can see the building where we are meeting for for church on Sunday. It's a former building for a communist system. They built it up with the purpose of teaching all the people the propaganda that God does not exist. So, as you know, God has a great sense of humor. He took this building, and right now, about 5 churches are renting this place to do service every week. So when we do service, actually another 2 churches and different auditory, because it's a huge building, it has several auditorium. So we will meet in the main one, and then there are some others, and at the same time, we are worshiping the Lord. And then Saturday, there are other churches, it's another church who meets, and then Sunday afternoon, it's another church who are meeting. So that building was built by the communists to make a propaganda that God does not exist, but God changed the whole thing, and it's using this building to just preach the gospel and have people coming to him. So now it's like, praise the Lord. Now they turn it into a historical museum, and it's just a great place for us to meet. So Pastor Nathan and Jim was there visiting us. Pastor Nathan was preaching. And by the way, thank you very much for allowing them to come to serve with us and meet our people. Thank you very much for making this thing possible. I know that they was away from you, but it was great for us to have them back to us. So another slide, you can see that for the fame of God and for the power of the gospel, we surrender ourselves all kind of guns and all kind of tanks. And this was a joke, you're supposed to laugh. Okay, so as I said, it's a historical museum. They put all these old guns around this building. So if you walk out of the building aside, you can see all this stuff. And the next slide. Yeah, this is inside where we meet. The size of our congregation, it's about the same size that you guys are here. We need also to bring chairs inside and put the screen and prepare everything. Like about 7 o'clock in the morning, we start our meeting together and work until 10 o'clock, about 3 hours. And then after everything is done, we need to have another 2-3 hours to take everything down. So this has happened every single week. Another aspect about our church, if you go to the next slide, it's a very interesting dynamic that God is bringing together in this church. A lot of people from different countries are choosing to come to worship with us every Sunday morning. So we count once, it was about 11 type of people in the room. Like was people from Greece, from United States, from Russia, from Romania. So we have to translate all our sermons. I'm preaching in Romanian, and we have some people translating my sermon in English, and another one are translating my sermons in Russians. I really appreciate the job they do today because I have to speak in English. So always they keep telling me, hey, can you please speak slowly for us to have time to do that? And I thought they are not humble, but now God is giving me also the opportunity to fill it. So, yeah, please continue to pray for our country. We are praying for you. We bring the church from for Cambridge always in our discussion, and when we meet with our leadership, we pray for you. We pray for Pastor Nate. When we pray that God is going to continue to bless you abundantly and have a great impact in this area through you and through the ministry that he called you to do it. And please continue to remember and pray about us. There are three things, maybe, if you want to remember, three things to pray about our country and our ministry back home. One thing will be, please pray that God will going to raise up available, capable, and teachable people for the ministry. There are so many people who need the gospel. And there are so many people who call themselves Christians, and they will claim the fact that they love Jesus and they love the Lord. But when we get to the ministry, when we get to do the job, for some reason, very often we don't feel like we have teachable, available, and capable people to do it. So please pray that God is going to raise up this kind of people to do the work of the gospel. And the second thing, pray that the Spirit of God will gonna continue to acknowledge our country and work with power among us. We believe that if the Holy Spirit is not going to touch our country and the heart of our people, we believe that nothing is going to change. No program, no church, no nothing can change a nation beside the power of the Holy Spirit. So pray that the Holy Spirit will work with power among us in our country. And the third thing, please, if you want to keep praying for us, pray against the power of the evil one. The evil one, it's always against the work of the church, the children of the Lord. Back home, they develop a very big work of the evil, like so many, what is the name in English? Widows? Like hundreds and hundreds. There are certain a lot more people sharing the flyers about to how to connect with the widows on the street than Christians who will share a track how to connect with God to get saved. So is this great power of the evil. So if you remember about Moldova, about Chisinau, please pray also against the power of the evil and ask the Lord to show us and his power and his grace. Amen. Thank you very much, church. And now I'd like to open the Word of God with you and share a few things that God put on my heart to share with you for this morning. As I said, I feel like I'm at exam after the high school. I feel like I have to do great in my English. I have never studied English. I have never studied Russian. God helped me to learn both these languages. Just because what I was ministering, I had around me only people who speak English and Russians. So I had to learn by just, you know, by taking an object in your hand and somebody said, this is a watch. And I was repeated. And then I kind of assume some of the words and I start pronouncing some of the words. And some of them was very bad. Now, I told some of them to Pastor Nate, and he told me, don't say that in a church. So I'm going to do that. I'm not going to say it because it's not good. But this is the way how I learn English, and I hope that God is going to give me the availability or the possibility to speak out his word as he wants it, you to hear it. So if you have your Bible, to please, let's open the Word of God in Romans chapter 14. Romans chapter 14, verse 8. We'll have several verses who we're going to read this morning, but I will not be able to read it. So I'll ask Pastor Nate to read it for us. So let's read together the Romans chapter 14, verse 8.
For if we live, we live to the Lord, and if we die to the Lord. So then, whether we live or whether we die, we are the Lord's.
Amen. Thank you very much. It's a good verse for our heart to hear it, right? When you read this part of the scripture, I do believe that the Word of God is speaking directly to our hearts. If you remember the prophet Jeremiah, in Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 9, he said that our heart is wicked and extremely evil, right? So it's so important to connect what Jeremiah said and what Paul is saying in this passage in the scripture here in Romans. Because he said, hey, and Pastor David said this morning, said, let's make this verse, when we speak it out, like an affirmation, like to raise it out the voice and said, if we live, we live for the Lord. And I think we do need to speak to us very often. And the reason why I think that we need to speak to us very often this truth is because one of the biggest counselor that we have in our life every single day, it's ourselves. We speak with ourselves so often. And we teach ourselves how to think, how to walk, what to do further. So as the scripture, it's open before our eyes, and we read these verses from the scripture. Paul, it's making this proclamation, and you look to the word of God, and you see what Jeremiah also is saying, that our heart, it's wicked, and it's extremely deceivable. Like it can deceive me very often. And I need to remind myself, why, what I live for? What is the reason that I live every single day? Paul, it's making this claim, or it's saying this phrase, if we live for the Lord. And if we die for the Lord. And now I want to challenge or to encourage or to call you. Let's take a moment and ask ourselves, do we really believe that we live for Jesus? Are we living for Him? Like when you take this passage from the scripture, which it says that if we live for Christ. I was following with you when you guys read, and I think the way how they put English together is a little bit different. But if I translate word by word from my language, it says, if we live for the Lord. And as I was studying this text from the scripture, I was asking myself, God, I'm going to preach about this, but I'm standing before you, and I want to ask myself before you, do I live for you? What are the other things that that are existing in my life, and it's controlling me? Because the scripture says that things that control my brain, things that control my desires, things that control my life, those are actually the things that I'm living for. And when I'm reading this passage in the scripture, I'm asking, do I live for Christ? And if I want to check that to see if that it's okay or not, I just have to acknowledge my life to see what I'm doing, what controls me, what energizes me, what brings me joy and passion. And if the scripture and if the share the gospel, if doing things for the fame of Christ, It's not bringing me joy and happiness, and it's not that passion and desire. I'm questioning this. I'm questioning myself. What do I live today for? And this is few questions that I think it will be good for us to put this morning. I would like to share with you three questions from this passage, and when we put this question all the time, just to have in mind that it's so important to understand that we live days, we live times when our heart, it's constantly attracted to a trap. We so often my heart, it's attracted to the materialism. So often my heart, it's attracted to my desires, to follow with my pleasures. And I believe, I don't know how it's in America. And by the way, there are some things I really appreciate about this country and about you guys. I'm talking with many, many guys from the United States, many of my brothers, and you are saying that, you know, our country is going down and there are this bad things happening, this bad things happening. But there are some things I keep sharing with everyone I really appreciate about the believers in the United States. Back home, we don't have a lot of things. Like the level of life, it's way behind you guys. So is this constant desire in people's heart to get better, to reach to something better, to higher? But we have a say. Somebody said this expression, give to a person money and power, and you'll understand who is him. Now, when I'm coming to the United States, I'm looking to you guys how many opportunities you have to live for the flesh. I'm just seeing how much possibilities you have to go away from the Lord and still live a happy life. And I'm just impressed with you that you are not doing that. You are choosing to follow God. You are choosing to show up in the church, worship Jesus. Give him glory. Recognize him in all your ways, and even be gracious of giving and supporting, praying, be authentic. I really appreciate this in your society, because I know that you have or also other opportunities to do for life, and you're still choosing Jesus. But we need to continue to understand that repentance and our heart, it's evil, and it always drain us, it will call us to a trap for the materialism and live a life away from Jesus. So, like I said, there are a few questions I would like to ask each other this morning. And one of the questions is, let's ask each other, why I am here? Why I'm here? Why I'm on this earth? Why I'm in this country? Why I'm in this church? Why do I am here? What for? I remember in Moldova, one of the family from our church, they couldn't have children, and they decide to go to an orphanage to adopt a child. By the way, this is another aspect of our society. The Moldova, it's a small country. It has about 3.5 million people. And for that amount of people, we have about 100,000 of vulnerable children. And the reason for that is because people need to go out of the country to work to be able to provide for their families. It's something similar what you have maybe with Mexican community, where they're coming from Mexico, work here, and then send money back home to help their families to make a living. And in that, we have about 20,000 orphan children. So you have this many and big, large buildings where full of kids, and if you just have the courage to walk in, your heart will be broke instantly. Because as you step in those buildings, like maybe thousands or hundreds, let's say hundreds of kids will run to you and they'll call you like mama or papa, and they'll try to grab your hand, and if they cannot do it, they'll just grab some of your clothes and just try to stay tight to you. So please pray for that too. But I am trying to say, is this family in our church, and they couldn't have children, and they decide to go to adopt a child. And they got there, and they invite me to go with them. It was one of the hardest moments in my life, because we walk in, and you have this big room full of these children, everyone calling you mama or papa, and you have to pick one. You just have to look to them, and you have to say, I'm not going to take you. I'm not going to take you. You. I'm going to take you. That is so difficult. And we had to do that. With tears, and me and this family, we all three of us, we were crying. But we have to pick one. And we did it. And as soon as we walk out of that room, this family said, what can we do to take him as quickly as possible out of here? As quickly as possible. Why? Because we don't want him to be anymore in that place. Now, you know, I can keep talking about this story, but my point, what I want to make here, is that God adopted us too. We become the children of God by God coming into our lives, into our world, and adopting us, making us his children. And now, if he loves us so much that he was able, he was open to send his only son and allowed his son to die and suffer for my and your sin, the question is, why he still let us to be on this earth? What I'm doing here, that family I was telling you about, as soon as they walk out of the room, they said, what can we do to take him home now? Is God not better than those guys? If he adopted me and you, doesn't he have the same strong desire to take you out of here as soon as possible? He does. But he still have a purpose for you. God loves you so much that he sent his son to die for your sin. He loves you not because you are worthy. He loves you because He decided to love you. It's nothing I can do for God to love me. It's nothing you can do for God to love you. It's nothing I can do for God to not love me. It's nothing you can do that God will not be able to love you. God loves you not because you own. God loves you because He wants that. Now, if He loves you so much, why He allowed you to still be here? What are you living here for? What is the purpose? And my dear brothers and sisters, the purpose that God has for your life is to stay here and be that hope for other people who need to hear the gospel. And now, you and I, daily, I think, we need to come back to this passage of the Scripture and read it and remind to ourselves or ask ourselves, what are we living daily for? Why I'm here? What is the purpose that God has me over here in Cambridge, Ohio? Because for sure, God needs you for a very, very, very special purpose. I keep sharing with people in our congregation that God was never looking for furniture in the church. You know, that some people believe that God loves furniture. I don't believe that. I'd never saw in the Scripture. There's just no place in the Bible where it says that God loves furniture. You know what I'm saying? Do I say it right in English? Furniture? You know, like you have a chair in the house. It just stays there all the time. God doesn't need furniture in the church. The church of God, it's built by living stones. The body of Christ, it's coming together with organs which are alive. And the life in those organs, it can be seen in their actions. That's why I'm encouraging, dear brothers and sisters, how much time you still have to live on this earth, make sure that you are very useful for God's purpose. If I live for the Lord. This is what Romans says, what Paul says in Romans. And when me and you and I, we ask ourselves, do I live for the Lord? Immediately I'm questioning my walk with the Lord. How I'm doing, what I'm going to be busy today, what I'm going to be busy tomorrow, what my schedule looks for the next, how much room has my Lord in my life. That's why I said, let's ask each other a few questions and let's try to answer for ourselves because it's so, so important. And Luke chapter 10, verse 27, Jesus is giving an answer to those Pharisees who was asking him which of the commandments are most important. And he's answering to them and says, love your Lord with all your heart. Now remember, I just said our heart is evil and it's deceiving us all the time. Like very often we are driven by our feelings, by what we feel like. You talk with people and you ask about their walk with the Lord, their experience of God, and they'll always, often, not always, but often will say, I feel like, and we feel like. And it's so much often about this feeling. My dear brothers, feelings very often comes from our heart. The feelings is coming from the Holy Spirit either. But the feelings very often come from our heart. And the Bible is teaching us that our heart is evil and extremely wicked. So if that is truth, how I'm going to guide my life? It will be my heart and my feelings the guidance for my daily walk with Christ? Personally, I decide to don't follow my feelings. Person, I decide to never count on what I feel and what I want. I decide to take the Word of God, open it, and read it and do it. Because I believe that God is calling me to not fill the scripture, but to fulfill the scripture. So 18 years ago, when I first heard about the gospel, when I first heard about Jesus, I was a DJ in disco. I was just, you know, having my life, and you didn't know that, right?
I knew that.
Oh, you knew that. Okay.
Just picturing you with the earphones on.
Yeah. Well, so, you know, I had all this life with girlfriends and, you know, parties and all this fun. And, you know, I didn't thought that it's something wrong with it. But I got to a point when the gospel grabbed my heart. All the time when I was invited to follow the Lord, I said, I know it better. You don't tell me about Jesus. Don't tell me about these things. I know how to deal with this better. And one of this evening, I got into a fight, and I got arrested, and they took me to a prison. Like, not a real prison, but they took me to the police, and they keep me there for a few days. And B, yeah, taxi come after me. I used to call police car, like personal taxi, you know, they can come all the time. Thank you. And I had this chance to stay with myself and acknowledge myself in that room. And then I thought, okay, how good I am in finding a better way. It was the first time when I started to really pray and said, God, if you really exist, help me to realize that. Help me to get out of here. And I'll promise you, I'm going to follow you all my life. God was good. He doesn't have to answer to my wicked desires. I mean, even this, even if it sounds spiritual, my question, my request was very fleshy, don't you think? Like, hey, save me. I just needed a savior. Like many people, they want a savior. They don't want a Lord and a king in their life. They want a savior, right? Who doesn't want a savior? Everyone wants a savior, and I want a savior. I think that God, according with his mercy and grace and love, he decided to love me. And by that Friday, I was out of that place. I could see the hand of God. And I walk, I go home, and I said to my mom, put my clothes together, because Sunday I'm going to walk with you. I'm going to go with you at the church. I remember her starting shaking and so happy, because she was praying for me together with other ladies from the church for almost 6 years. I'll go to disco, and they'll go to my room, bow their knees, put their hands on my bed, and praying every time. And God brought me to him. Glory to Jesus. Changed my life. And as soon as I started to walk with the Lord. You know, like 3 months later, I had a strong desire to go on mission field. So I left my country, I moved to Moldova, and I start to preach the gospel. Now, you know, if you will follow the desires of your heart, you're not going to go to start doing ministry very quickly and very often. Because you'll just find so many motives why to not do it. There are so many. I cannot do this now. I cannot. Well, it's not the perfect time. Well, to do the impossible is never the perfect time, right? Like, it's never the right time to do the impossible things. God is not calling us to do great things. Actually, God is calling us to walk on the water, to do the impossible things. And never is the perfect time to do the impossible. Now, I'm going from Romania to Moldova 3 months later that I got saved. But what was the trick about this thing is that between Moldova or inside of Moldova, it just had been happened a war. It was a war between them for languages. And after the World War II, Russians took over Moldova, and overnight they say to Moldovan people who were speaking Romanian, they said, beginning with tomorrow, you're going to speak Russian. So they mean it. The next day, they expect everyone to speak Russian. And of course, not everyone spoke Russian. And hundreds of thousands of people were taken to Siberia by trains. And I think you know some of those stories. Now, in 1992, when the perestroika happened and the Russian bloc was down, the Moldovans will take back the country, and they make the same proclamation. They said, beginning with tomorrow, we're going to start to speak Romanian. Now, you have this many years of people speaking only Russian, and of course, many people are not going to speak this language. So they start to speak from the next day Romanian, and here it comes. They start to fight inside. The only language I knew how to speak in those days was only Romanian. They were fighting against each other because of the language, Romanian. I'm leaving from Transylvania, from Brasov, where I am from, to Moldova to preach the gospel. I have no idea where I'm going because it was a lady who was our contact or guidance. Like she said, I'm going to take you to our place. Well, we didn't have Google to Google everything and see the map, how distance, and you know, we didn't know all this. I said, okay, I'm going to follow you. Where God is going to take you? She takes us to that region which was against the Romanian speaking, like right in the heart of it. And I'm here, and she's just telling me, don't speak nothing for nobody to hear you. So if you go to a place like that, you'll be baptized with the power of the Holy Spirit instantly. Like you just start to speak in tongues like this, you know, because they told me if you're not going to speak in Russian, they're going to kill you. So I had to take a piece of paper and a pen, and every sound I'll hear, I write it down, and then I'll go to somebody who knows both languages and say, what does this mean, how you pronounce this, and what, you know. So in about 2.5 months, I was able to communicate by myself in Russian. But what I'm trying to say with this is that if you consider that you don't, it's not the proper time for you to live for Jesus, to work for Jesus, to minister for Jesus, you have to just realize that if you'll keep pushing farther, you'll never find the perfect time to start to minister for Jesus. That's why, my dear brother and sister, I'm calling you in the name of Jesus to make a decision in your life to start living for Christ as Paul it's mentioning in this passage in Romans. He says, if we live for the Lord. And I'm asking myself, do I live for Jesus? And I'm calling you out also to ask yourself, do I live for Jesus? Now, if you are part of this great, fantastic church community, question yourself, what is the ministry? What is your participation, involvement, how you bring value to this community. God called you to be a living stone for this place. God has a great plan with you. He has a great plan with Nathan, his family, some other guys who are in ministry, but also he has a great plan with you personal. It's a great history put in there. It's the entire plan, all kind of books with your name in front. And God wants to use you with power. Please just make a decision. Check yourself if you are really living for Christ. And that you can see in the action, the passion, and what you do, what you are vibrant for every single day. If there are other things which keeps you kind of away from Jesus, you may think about, pray about, ask the Lord to take those things on the second, third, fourth, fifth, 10th place in your life and bring Jesus in front. The second question I would like together to look this morning from the same passage. It's, you know, what I am ready to die for? What I am ready to die for? Like, you know, very often some of the kids, they have this toy, I don't know how you call that thing. They play games, and if you take it away, they feel like they can't, without that thing, they will die. He said, I cannot do it without it. I'm going to die if I don't. It's impossible. It's really that impossible? Are we really realizing what we are ready to die for? Well, before we'll keep going on this question, can I ask you a question?
Yeah.
And I asked Pastor Nathan, I said, if I ask a question, does people from your church are answering? So he said, yes. So, okay, I said, let's see. So, my question is, I think it's very simple, and everyone can answer to it, but let's see if you'll do it. So the question is this, what do you think that Jesus died for? So, our sins, one answer. So, for us to be together with Him, so not be separate by Him. What will be another answer to the question, what did Jesus died for? For church. You said the little answer. Yeah, okay. I Moldova, we are yelling to each other. Okay. For us. Okay, thank you. Great.
To obey his father.
To obey his father. Okay.
For our salvation.
For our salvation. Great. Other, there's supposed to be many, right? There are many, many answers to these questions. No? Only one? To have a relationship with us, great. Super. Well, thank you. Thank you for these answers. And they really come together to the same point. Like, He died for us. He died to show His love to us. And He died to give us salvation. And he died for the fact that to be able to make a context where we can have a relationship with our Father from heaven. Amen? Now, when I was thinking personal about this question, I was answering like, He died for me. He died for my salvation. He died because He didn't want that I would go into hell. He died to escape me from the punishment of the sin. He died that I'll have life. He said that He wants me to have life and life with abundancy. He died that I'll be adopted. He died for me to become one of His sons and just enjoy the treasures and blessings that He prepared for me in heaven. Like, I answered all these things to me. And then I'll start reading the scripture again, and I'm getting to this passage in Romans chapter 14. We just read verse 8. But I got to the verse 9. Will you be willing to read with me this passage from the scripture, verse 9? Romans 14, verse 9.
For to this end, Christ died and lived again, that He might be both Lord, that He might be Lord both of the dead and of the living.
So, thank you. So, I was reading this passage in the scripture, and what is telling here to me that He died and raised again to be Lord of my life. So, very often I'm thinking about God that He died for me, and I'm lifting me up like I'm the center of the universe. Like, He died for me and saved me and loved me and showed me and give me. I am the center. But when I'm reading this passage in the scripture, I realize that actually He died for me for Him to be the center of the universe. Because He is the worthy one for all the glory, for us to worship and bowed before Him. It says that He died that He will be the Lord to have leadership of everyone. And then in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 15, it's another verse I'd like to read with you.
And He died for all, that those who live might no longer live for themselves, but for Him.
Amen. So, God died that I'm not going to continue to live for myself, that I will start to live for Him. And this is the words of encouragement, if you can call it in that way, for you this morning. Let's decide all together to make a decision to start to live daily for Jesus, because He is worthy. I'm just so encouraged by what Paul said in this passage in the Scripture. He says, if we live, we live for the Lord. If we die, we die for the Lord. So the first question is, what do I live? What do I am here? And I think we all realize that God allowed us to still be on this earth with a purpose. God has a purpose for you. God has a vision for you. Just come before the Lord, empty yourself about the flesh and desires that doesn't glorify Him, and let Him fulfill your heart. And He will give you a mean. He will give you a sense for every single day you're going to live on this earth. And then if it's about to die, you will die anyway one day. Sooner or later, we're going to be out of here. Paul says, but if I will die, I will die for Christ. And I would like to be one of those guys who dies for Christ too. I don't know if I'm going to have the honor to be killed for the gospel, because this is a gift from the Lord to be able to go and suffer for the gospel. But what I know for sure is that in that day when I'm going to go to face my God, I want to face it in a way that He is going to say, "Welcome, my faithful servant. I have been waiting for you." We just finished that thing where we just did that thing. Welcome, come home. It's done with you. I just want you to come home because I have some other things for you. I want you to enter into my kingdom. I want you to receive all your rewards. I just want for you to go farther from this point on in heaven. So, dear brothers, if we live, let's live for the Lord. You have a certain amount of years. You have a certain energy. You have a certain numbers of days. You can use them for something. You can use for your flesh. You can use for pleasure of your heart. Or you can consume yourself for Jesus. And I think what Paul was trying to tell us in that passage in Romans, it's, hey, if I'll be consumed in this life, I want to be consumed. I want to use all my power, knowledge, and resources just for Jesus. If I live, I want to live for Jesus. If I die, I want to die for Jesus. Doesn't matter what happens to me, if I'm alive or I'm dead, I belong to Jesus. So this is the word I wanted also to share with you this morning. We, back in Moldova, we want to stay faithful on this truth. We want to acknowledge and recognize that we are sinners and we need the gospel every single day. We want to repent about everything what we think that we do and doesn't glorify God, and turn back and follow our God, our Lord Jesus Christ. We want to be faithful. Preach the gospel. Stay faithful in preaching. Stay faithful in prayer and the word. We want to be that light in Moldova that God called us to be. We want to be that salt that holds the word of God, truth and pure, share with people for the glory and for the fame of Jesus. And we want to call you also to be the same kind of believers, the same kind of followers, because that day when you're going to face your King, it's coming. And you want to hear that sweet sentence or voice which you're going to say, "My dear servant, my dear faithful servant, welcome. Come, enter into my kingdom. I want you to receive all the blessings that I prepare for you." Please be one of those guys. Decide to stay faithful with the call you have in Cambridge, Ohio. Come alongside your pastor and the people who have this burden of ministry. Get connected. Work for the Lord as much as you can, and may God bless you all. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's have a word of prayer, and I'll ask Pastor Nathan if he wants to close us in prayer. I thought I'm going to pray, but...
No, you're going to pray.
I would like you to.
I want you to pray.
You want me to pray?
I want you to pray in Romanian or whatever.
Okay.
I want to pray
And maybe this time the worship team are going to come in front. And okay, I'm going to pray in Romanian. Doamne, în numele Domnului Iisus vrem ca să venim înaintea Ta și să-ți mulțumim pentru harul Tău, pentru dragostea Ta, pentru binecuvântările Tale. Doamne, ne închinăm înaintea Ta cu mulțumire și îți mulțumim pentru că ne-ai chemat și ne-ai făcut copiii Tăi. Vreau în dimineața aceasta să te rog pentru biserica aceasta Harvest, Cambridge, Ohio. Doamne, binecuvintează în numele Domnului Iisus. Revarsă-ți Tu puterea Duhului Sfânt peste fiecare care este aici. Doamne, umple Tu inimile acestor frați și surori cu bucurie, cu pasiune pentru Evanghelie, pentru orașul acesta, pentru comunitatea aceasta. Doamne, dă-le înțelepciune și putere cum să proslăvească numele Tău și să Te glorifice ca Domn și Mântuitor personal. Îți mulțumim pentru timpul de închinare că l-am putut avea în dimineața aceasta. Binecuvintează-ne în continuare în numele Domnului Iisus și îți mulțumim pentru toate. Amin.